fans, another week of NXT action, and we're here to break it on down. Hello, everyone. My name is Flo Bo Boyce. You're locked into Draped in Gold, the first take of NXT, the ESPN TV talk. I have no idea. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the only self-employed person with an out-of-office responder, Real Jack Farmer. What's up, baby?
I'm always out of office. You can't get a hold of me. Come on now.
You're just a Hollywood talent, man. That's what I love about you, man. How's your week?
You know, it's a good week. I got it. You know, this is maybe pulling back the curtain too far for people, but it's one of those weeks where on the I got a ton of stuff I got to do. The calendar looks clear, but I just got a bunch of stuff that isn't time bound. So I've got the illusion of a free week, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, you know, you and I both are kind of like a free weekend now to stress about what we're missing. That's always the worst kind of vibe. You
know? Right. Well, and there's things to do. They're just not on the calendar. It's like, I got to go do a bunch of stuff. There's just not a scheduled time for it. So it feels like I look at the calendar, it looks open, but then I'm like, well, I got this to-do list though, that is going to keep me very busy.
I'm with that. I've got a lot to do today. NXT was going on in all cylinders, but first and foremost, got to give props to those in the chat. What's up, Pop Princess? We're streaming live on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Trovo, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Drop a question or a comment or concern, some adoration or love. We'll definitely put that on the show. Well,
especially as we're getting things going, sorry to step all over the transition. Especially as we're getting things going and we're bringing back Draped in Gold, those kind of things, like being in the chat right away, is super helpful to us. So it's actually very appreciative for everyone who gets here right as we get things going.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock in the morning here in Los Angeles. We need all the help we can get. And, oh, and props to Crunk Chocolate dropping that 5-star review on that Apple podcast and Spotify. So thank you so much for that.
What do you have it up? Can you read it?
I will definitely look for that in a moment because I'm going to pass it over to you just a second because I got to make sure you give them some shine. But let's talk about this. Judgment Day is here. Dom is setting up a match for next week. But more importantly, NXT was all just got their tendrils into it. Talk to me. What is up with Judgment Day and making the trip down to Orlando?
Yeah, this was a very fun episode of NXT, by the way. Top to bottom, I was chatting about it on Wrestling Inc. last night about how NXT, in a lot of ways, is truly the variety show of pro wrestling. And week in and week out, I think it does better than just about any other TV show in giving you a structured show that gives you everything you want and really makes the most of its minutes. So, as always, great show on NXT, and that's why it's no surprise that Judgment Day wants to come down and be a part of it and wants to be a part of what's cooking down in Orlando. And I love what they did here. I love that Finn Balor reminded us all that it's still his house, Flobo. It's still This is still the house Finn Balor built with a little help from the demon, but the house that Finn Balor built. Just a little help from a demon.
But helped out, came through, you know what I'm saying? With the hammers.
Right. And all I got paid for was pizza.
Oh, that is evil. That is thanks, buddy. Want a pizza? No.
Anytime you have to help someone with their house, I feel like the payment is always, oh, get us pizzas.
Oh, man. That works. Once you turn 24, does that work anymore? But as we're talking about this, we have a couple reviews. First from Amanda Russell says, hilarious and informative 5 stars. A must listen for all the wrestling fans out there. Flobo and Jack almost never agree, but that makes it interesting and funny. They have great chemistry. It's obvious. So, and Crunk Chocolate says, a must listen. Flobo Boyce and Jack Farmer have great chemistry. No one talks NXT better. Who better?
Oh, man. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. So talk about demons and all that. I want to jump right ahead to this because before we talked about the matches, before we talk about what got involved with Judgment Day, this one here kind of tickles my fancy. It's time for General Manager Pick'em. See, I was perusing the interwebs and Real Jack Farmer answered the question of who was on the Mount Rushmore of NXT, and as is right now, Jack says Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, and Carmelo Hayes are the four pillars. Can I say pillars about NXT? Well,
the four heads, I think, Rushmore.
Right, that's true. But let me ask you this: if you had to swap out somebody because you didn't really tip your hat to the women's division or the tag team division, there, Jack Farmer, who would you swap out, and why?
So, a hot take, I feel like tag teams don't go on the Mount Rushmore because I feel like that's people trying to fit in two heads in one spot. And I hate when people try to break the rules of things like this. I hate when people are like, what's your favorite movie? And people are like, well, these are my three favorites. Like, I didn't ask for your three favorites. I asked for your one favorite. Right? When I think of tag teams, I always feel like it just feels like you're trying to sneak in an extra name when you're doing tag teams. So I don't do tag teams. And with the women's division, the reason, I mean, Asuka would be the name that you'd put there, I think. Okay. If you were going to put someone for the women's division. But I think the women's division is almost, in this situation, a victim of its own success. I mean, how do you pick, you know, the women's? There's so many talented female wrestlers that have always been so well highlighted, it becomes almost impossible to pick between them. And you find yourself in a position like when people will say, who's your Mount Rushmore of WWE? And they're like, well, Rock, Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, and The Undertaker. I'm like, well, they can't all be on there. They were there at the same time. If they didn't stand out amongst each other, how do they stand out amongst history?
So absolutely.
That's kind of where I felt with the women's division of NXT when I was doing this. They've all been so good. I mean, you can have the Four Horsewomen on there, and that's not even going beyond that group. You know, so it became really tough there. The names I picked, which were Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, Bebe, and is Bebe is part of his name. I think we just need to accept that.
Absolutely.
That's the reason why I picked those names, is I feel like they each sort of represented an era of what NXT was, and they were the face, in my opinion, of an era. I know some people will say Bron Breakker was the face of the NXT 2.0 era, but I really think Carmelo Hayes is the one that really shouldered a lot of that and carried NXT 2.0 as far as the real meat and potatoes of what 2.0 was. So I look at it as kind of eras and who really represented, and that's why I picked those four.
Just for my own benefit, I agree with you about 75% of the way. If you want to, my women's division pick would actually be Shayna Baszler for that reason, because the Four Horsemen were at a time where they were pretty much the top of the card. When Shayna Baszler was on top, the whole division was stacked. But the two people we agreed on is Finn Balor and Carmelo Hayes, which brings us to our main event. Trick Mello Gang had a tag team match with Judgment Day, Damian Priest and Finn Balor, Senor Money in the Bank, and the Prince himself was an absolute banger. But Judgment Day walks away with the dub. Carmelo Hayes is now 0-2 when going against the Purple Flames and Finn Balor and company. What make you of this, Jack Palmer?
First thing is tag team match Playa being added is much like Bebe, where now it has been joined. It's not called a tag team match anymore. It's called a tag team match player. So. Right. It's part of it. We didn't know what we had when we had Teddy Long.
True story.
I think there's a lot of people who are hemming and hawing and worried and wringing their hands about Carmelo going down 0-2 to Finn Balor. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's something that you need to worry about that much. I mean, there were times when Michael Jordan played Magic Johnson in different games of basketballs
before my time, Grandpa.
You know, when Magic Johnson was older and about to wrap it up, and Jordan was younger, still coming up. There were some of those games that Jordan lost. No one cares. He's moved on. We've all moved on. Jordan still had a great career. This is the same thing. Carmelo Hayes lost a couple times to Finn Balor. It doesn't mean that Carmelo Hayes needs to worry or stress out about it. It's just something that's happened. And I'm sure down the road, Carmelo Hayes' legacy will bury these losses so deep it won't matter anymore.
Wow, that's heavy talk. But, you know, it kind of says that if you're an NXT homer, like I am, the NXT champion can't beat a team that's been very beatable on the main roster. No red flags are being raised there, Jack?
Beatable on the main roster. You got Senior Money in the Bank in the group. You've got one of the most dominant women's champions in history in the group. You've got one of the most dangerous people on earth in Dom Mysterio in the group.
What? He was a champ for 1 week.
You've got the person we both agreed is a Mount Rushmore figure of NXT there. Come on. This is a team that has been together for a very long time. They know each other. They work together regularly. And even though Trick and Carmelo have been together and pals for a long time, they don't have as many matches together as Judgment Day seems to have. Fair. So there's a lot of things going into this, as well as just the numbers game here. And Dragunov getting involved and really costing Carmelo Hayes the match in the end.
So let's talk about this and I kind of dovetail to our next matchup. Dragunov, fresh off his match with Bron Breakker, which we'll talk about in a second, really gets his hands involved, but definitely was not the best timing for everyone. Dragunov inserting himself into the main title picture, down champion in this matchup, taking out Bron Breakker. Is he having a net positive or a net negative for Ilya?
I mean, this is, I've always said the problem with Dragunov, and the thing that always rubs me the wrong way about him is he's too emotional. He gets too worked up, he gets too in his head, and he lets his emotions run wild within him. And
it's wrestling.
Sometimes that helps him. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes that helps him.
You always lie to me.
Fire up, and you can see him really get engaged. This is a time where the emotions got the better of him. And you could see that in him coming out there, getting involved, and hitting Carmelo Hayes with that Money in the Bank briefcase. There's no reason Dragunov should have been out there. Shouldn't have gotten involved. Here's the deal. Let's say they hit Carmelo Hayes with that Money in the Bank briefcase. Let's say Damian Priest used it. And let's say Damian Priest became the NXT champion. Dragunov still has a title shot. Who cares? There was nothing that happened in that ring made any difference at all to Dragunov. Dragunov should not have been out there, not have gotten involved. And I think that he cost Carmelo Hayes this matchup, which is another reason why I don't fault Carmelo Hayes or Trick Williams, who is a star in his own right. And we need to start treating him as such.
I'm with you 100%. Trick Williams has definitely shown improve. I'll be the first one to admit in our previous iteration of Raped in Gold, the part one, that I wasn't the biggest fan of Trick when he debuted, but he's definitely become one of the stalwarts of the brand. But you're absolutely right about Dragunov. Here is somebody that had a grueling match against badass Bron Breakker. He's a badass because his psych says so. That was really, to me, the best match of the night. And he walked away with that. Dragunov should have been out there hanging out with the droves of metaphor, or high-fiving Lisa Leon, or in catering doing something else. Why was he out there? I don't know, but let's talk about that Bron Breakker match. Bron Breakker, somebody we said for weeks needs a direction. This was going to be his path to the top of the NXT mountain once more, but now he's looking at the wrong end of a loss after taking on Dragunov this week.
What a slugfest this match was. This was so hard-hitting. This was incredible. This was, I mean, we talked about it at the top, a variety show here on NXT. When you ask a wrestling fan, what do you look for in pro wrestling? Whatever they say, unless it's some weird thing that doesn't make any sense, if you're a fan of wrestling, all the different types of pro wrestling, if you're a fan of it, you got it on NXT this week. And for the people who are like, I like hard-hitting, very rough, very brutal matches, this was your match. And this was, by the way, match of the night, I think, with a bullet. Dragunov always seems to have those. He really pushed Bron Breakker here. I think where things fell apart for Badass is that he let Dragunov dictate the pace, let Dragunov dictate the style, and that's where he fell short. I think Bron Breakker is as good as they get, but I think that he found himself trying to win someone else's game instead of trying to assert his own game. And that's
whose game is it?
Yeah.
Question. Does it bother you that Dragunov is part of the no knee pad club?
Everyone who's no knee pad bothers me. Everyone who's no knee pad, by the way, you're on a list.
The thigh guy list or the no knee pad list. They're two different things.
They're surprisingly similar, but my feelings are very different.
Tyler, based on both, is chilling out like, yeah.
I'm very conflicted.
But what does that put Bron? I mean, Bron Breakker, I mean, we always talk about being on the main roster. Doesn't that's going to be the case? Looks like he's still going to be in NXT. Has the loss here. He's not going to the Great American Bash. Well, let me say that. He's not going for the NXT Championship at the Great American Bash. What's all Bron need to do?
I think Bron Breakker has probably silently signed a deal with one of the main roster brands and has a little bit of senioritis right now. I think
it is July.
I think he knows that he's going to get that call up any minute now, and he's sort of just biding his time, and I think he'll be fine. He'll probably have a few more matches, probably have something at Great American Bash, but I got a feeling that if you're a fan of NXT and you're a fan of Bron Breakker, you're not going to get to see that badass much longer.
Talk about things that I am not a fan of. I have been informed, I must discuss this, that the planned Supernova Sessions by Noam Dar was canceled this week as Noam is coping with the fact that he lost the Heritage Cup and looks like Metaphor is going out there for some therapy. Look, I don't really want to, but the fans want to know there, Jack. If your boy Noam Dar can't feel up to doing his job, maybe he should just quit.
You are just a bottom of the barrel clickbait jerk of a journalist. I mean, this guy is going through something serious. He's going through something very heavy. He has seen something that he cherishes so much, the Heritage Cup Championship, now become an interim championship. And it's really emotionally destroying this guy. And we should be giving him his space and giving him his privacy during these tough times. And here you are trying to get your TMZ moment picture here of the poor guy. Just let the guy have his space, man. He's going through something tough. He'll come back on his own time, and he'll finally be able to remove the interim aspect of this.
No, I don't want to buy that. A month ago was the match. Whether you interim or not, I'm not even going to entertain that part. The month ago was the match. He lost the cup. Whether or not he was deserving losing the cup.
He wasn't in the match.
Okay, fine.
Can't lose the match, but not in the match.
But that was a month ago. He said last week, I'm doing Supernova Sessions, and then doesn't do it. If you are the GM here, if you're anyone on the roster, you send that person home.
No, he was trying his best. Well, one, he was trying his best. He was trying to tough it out. But mental health for some people in this country and in this world, Flobo, still means something. And the fact that Noam Dar wanted to take care of his mental health, and now you're trying to act like he should feel bad about that. And by the way, you said send him home. Yeah, he didn't work. The GM, because the GM at NXT, clearly more progressive than you, Flobo, and understanding that
also invisible
mental health awareness is important, said, yeah, take the time off. Go figure things out. I'm sure the GM of NXT, whether it be Shawn Michaels or whoever else, was like, look, you're right. It's disgusting that Nathan Frazier is running around as the interim champion. And we agree, it's disgusting. It's sickening. And by the way, it's completely fraudulent, the fact that Nathan Frazier never adds the interim part to his championship when he says it.
It doesn't exist.
It's disgusting. And I think that I totally understand why Noam Dar is worked up about it. When you put so much into something, it's got to hurt to see someone just bastardize it the way Nathan Frazier has.
You know, Nathan Frazier is actually one of the good guys. I hope Noam Dar hooks up with Charles Samuels once more, because back then they were untouchable. That's why he's losing these matches here stateside. I'm just putting it out there.
Whoa. This is one of these things that people like you like to do. You do this.
People like me.
You do a
viewers of the bind, show.
You bind things, something that is completely false and untrue, to something that is true.
What are you talking about?
Sneak it in. Yes. Shaw Samuels is fantastic. Yes, Noam Dar would be better off with Shaw Samuels by his side. Yes, they were very successful together.
All right, that doesn't
mean he's a loser or anything negative just because he had a great partner before. Metaphor is a great team. And Metaphor, I mean, I don't think Noam Dar has ever lost since he's teamed with Metaphor.
He did. He lost the Heritage Cup.
He wasn't in a Heritage Cup match.
We gotta move on because this should go on forever. And by the way, I still don't even know why Jakara Jackson is even hanging out with Last Legend. He's even hanging out with Orin Mensa. Who's even hanging out with Noam Dar? I don't think we're gonna get those answers anyway. But that's just another thing.
Well,
for the time.
If I could hang out with those four, I would too. I think that's all the explanation you need.
You know, if I was at a cookout, talk about mental health.
Would they make it Meta 5 for me?
No, they will not do it. They will not do it. It'd be like the Big Ten having like 13 teams in it. Like, it'll be one of those things where the brand set. Okay, we got shirts already made. talk about mental health elsewhere. Ivy Nile, without their Creed brethren, had a match against the center of the universe, Tiffany Stratton. It was for the non-title affair, but Ivy Nile was on the losing end. Jack Farmer, Ivy Nile is a certified badass. We said it plenty of times in the show, but she suffered one of the worst defeats in her career. How can she move forward?
She needs to join Schism.
What?
That's how she moves forward.
No.
easy. I mean, it just makes sense.
Maybe no. What is he doing?
I mean, the fact that even Joe Gacy was like, look, people that doubted me for a long time, but I've proven myself right time and time again. My family is growing. I want to accept you. I want to help you, and I want to make you better. I understand that Ivy Nile is a little conflicted about this right now, and I understand why she would be. I'm not going to blame Ivy Nile here. I get it. I get that there was a rivalry between her friends and them, and so I get that it can be a little tricky, but I think when she really stops to think about it, and if she really opens up her heart, that schism will show that it is the place that you can both plant your roots and grow and reach for the sky. I think that schism and Ivy Nile is something that would be good for both parties. And I just really hope that Ivy Nile can have the mental maturity and the emotional maturity to understand what's best for her.
I'm a bit confused by you, Jack. Well, for more than one reason, but this particularly, because I felt like a month ago you were like, you know, the Creed brothers are cool, but they're cheaters and scoundrels. Now, Ivy Nile is free. Wouldn't it behoove her to go solo and find her own path?
Oh, but that's the thing. The Creed brothers were bad. They're gone.
Okay.
I will say, maybe we need to stop using the name Diamond Mine. I don't think that exists anymore.
Fair enough. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it does for a long time.
I mean, as my co-host on a show I did last night says, Diamond Mine simply will not go away.
It's forever. Yeah.
Diamond Mine is forever.
Whether you like it or not, it's forever.
but look, the Creed brothers, you know, if the Creed brothers were still around, I think that they were maybe too intrusive into other people's personal lives. But whatever the case is, they're out of the picture, so it doesn't matter anymore. And I think that this is where Ivy Nile needs to realize that she can continue to grow. You can replant her with the schism. And I think that schism is something, you look at the growth of Ava Raine, you look at the growth of everyone around them. And I mean, even the people in the yellow masks, you see how happy they look. And you think that this makes so much sense.
You. I hate you. You know, it's painted on. But final question before we move on this one. Tiffany Stratton, to her credit, made this light work. Ivy Nile was one of the more tougher competitors in the roster. Tiffany Stratton didn't really much break a sweat, but she had to suffer the rain of you tapped out Chance. I mean, maybe it might be affecting the champ, having the entire CWC go, you're not as good as you say you are, Tiffany.
Yeah, this bullying that occurs at NXT is just disgusting.
Oh my gosh, the payroll. Whose payroll are you on? I want to know whose side are you on? Who's giving you money to say these things?
How much time do you have? But this bullying that occurred, we saw her win. We saw her get a win here today, and they kept yelling these derogatory things at our champion, Tiffany Stratton. I don't know what they're even referring to when they say this, by the way. They keep saying you tapped out. I don't remember her tapping out.
Did you not watch the show?
Who tapped her out? Because the way I saw it, she won her match and is still the champion.
Thea Hale tapped her out plenty of times, multiple times. She was tapping like this. Like, ow, stop.
Let's hop on cagematch.com and check out the check out the results. Because
hey, they're not paying us to say their name, okay? I don't know what you mean.
I'm sorry. Let's go to match match history website.
Yeah. Let's go to Wikipedia. Yeah. Something.
Look, she didn't tap out. You know, I mean, Flobo, you've been watching wrestling long enough to know that at the end of the day, it's the referee's decision that stands. And the referee's decision was that Tiffany Stratton got a win.
No. Because on this very show, you're like, the referees are just getting too involved. They need to be replaced. It's terrible. It's awful. The best, worst referee you're officiating. Now you're like, well, you know, the referee didn't see it. Might as well go by the rules. Which one is it? Farmer.
I always support our officials. It's one of the things that separates you and I is that I understand rules, I understand structure, and I always support our men and women in the black and white stripes.
Elsewhere in the women's division, Cora Jade, the resident mean girl, took on a match, had a match taking on Kalani Jordan, who's not related to Orlando Jordan, Jason Jordan, Jordan Devlin, Jordan Miles, or Jordan Clearwater. But Cora Jade gets the dub. Jack Farmer, here's a question for you. If Cora Jade is that mean and that, like, awful, why is she preying on rookies? Should she not be going for the title picture?
She wasn't preying on rookies, Flobo. Yes, this is a classic example of you spinning things. This was
Kalani Jordan's a rookie.
Dana Brooke got into Cora Jade's business, and then because Dana Brooke knew that Cora Jade was better than her, she sent someone else to have the match.
The match wasn't with Dana Brooke. It was with a rookie in Kalani Jordan.
But it happened because of Dana Brooke. Cora Jade.
So fight Dana Brooke.
Cora Jade is, yeah, she would love to, but Dana Brooke, she's icing her leg for 7 years. Like, oh, sorry, I guess I can't get in there with the face of NXT now. Hey, who's you there? What's your name? And she's like, Kalani Jordan. You get in the ring there with Cora Jade, I guess.
Dana Brooke is a treasure.
I want you to acknowledge
you leave Dana Brooke alone.
Dana Brooke is using rookies who do not understand yet how this whole system works and is being taken advantage of. Taking advantage of Kalani Jordan, and it's disgusting.
I can't believe what you're saying. Dana Brooke is America's sweetheart. She is as fine as cookie pie. And she was in the trainer's room when Kalani Jordan came to her. Cora Jade, if she's that good, if she is that mean, has so many other opponents at her disposal. She could take out Tiffany Stratton. She can go after Blair Davenport in a hardcore situation. But no, she goes over somebody who's only been featured in NXT twice to have a match. Right there, bright lights on Tuesday night. She should be ashamed of herself. Cora Jade should be ashamed of herself when it's all said and done.
This is why everyone calls you a flip-flopper, Flobo.
What?
No one does that. Flip-flopping Flobo. That's what they call
you. No one says that. No one says that.
It's because you're someone who will come on here and you'll say things like you support the refs, and then the next week you'll say you don't support the refs. You always change your mind. Here's an example of one time you're doing it.
That was you.
If Cora Jade didn't accept this match with Kalani Jordan, you'd say, it's Kalani Jordan, right?
Kalani Jordan, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking, I keep wanting to say Kiana James.
So that's somebody else.
Yes, I know. Kalani Jordan. If she didn't accept this match with Kalani Jordan, then you'd be talking about how Cora Jade is ducking somebody or hiding from someone or trying to big.
But you see, that
accepted this match shows just how great Cora Jade is and how she's like, look, I don't care about all the clout chasing that people like Flobo and Dana Brooke do. I just want to have competition and show that I'm the best. And she did that this week.
Here's the thing. She did duck Kalani Jordan because Kalani Jordan asked her this last week. And she goes, oh, no, not this week. Waka, waka, waka. But you know what? The thing is I'm looking at is that we have a women's title picture and Cora Jade is on a win streak. And then we even think about it. Brass Tacks is won her last two or three matches, but she's nowhere near the title picture. Will that change? Should it change for Cora Jade?
If I was booking, yeah, I'd put her in a title match right away. Unfortunately, we've got someone else who I'm sure we'll get to in a minute who keeps hogging all the opportunities, even though she hasn't been able to beat Tiffany Stratton.
Well, let's talk about it. Who's hogging all the opportunities, Jack?
Hale, who was beaten clean as a whistle by Tiffany Stratton, now already wanting a rematch for what reason? For why?
She tapped out.
Who? Thea Hale tapped out?
No, Tiffany Stratton topped out.
Then why is she champion?
Let me ask you this question, Nick. I want you to go with me. Now, do you agree that Tiffany Stratton is a premier athlete?
Yes.
Do you agree that she's on top of the women's division and there's no one close to taking her down?
Right now, no.
Right. Do you agree or disagree that Thea Hale and Tiffany Stratton had a great match?
They had a good match, yeah.
All right. Now, if you're sitting there as a GM of NXT, Thea Hale's a fantastic competitor. You said it by your own admission. Tiffany Stratton is a premier athlete. It should be light work for Tiffany. Why not run it back?
Because we want to give the people what they want to see. And you already made a great case about Cora Jade being the next contender.
She's not, though.
Do you want to flip-flop? Do you want to flop off of what
I'm
you just said in the last segment?
I'm not.
You just said Cora Jade.
Question, I asked my question when she was preying on rookies, Cora Jade. Why isn't she? But she's not there. She's not coming out to Tiffany Stratton. She's over there beating up Dana Brooks' friends.
Because she's being a good, honest competitor, saying, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity. When guys like Wesley say, I'm going to take open challenges, like, what a great champion. Seth Rollins, I'll accept challenges from anyone. What a great champion. This is what we need. Cora Jade, I'll accept challenges from anyone. Oh, she's ducking people. I think that this is just an agenda from you, Flobo.
Wesley and Seth Rollins had titles. Cora Jade is punching below her weight class. That I can't believe we're arguing about Cora Jade so long.
It's a mindset. So if Cora Jade turned down that fight, you would say she was ducking Jordan.
She did turn it down last week because she was ducking a whole week.
She didn't turn it down. She said, let's do it next week. She's a professional. She wants to give this rookie time to study her tape, to get ready. It would have been taking advantage of her if she didn't give her the opportunity to get ready for the match.
Taking my professionals, we got to move on because I'm going to really bust a vein here. Thea Hale, her group, Chase U, Duke Hudson and Andre Chase had a match against Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey. Chase U gets the dub, and Thea Hale shows why she's so good at the submission arts and sciences, but I know Jack would make that into a bad thing. I have a question for you, but actually two questions. One, tell me how Thea Hale cheated and all that. And two, what's next for Gulak and Dempsey?
Well, I think Gulak and Dempsey, what's next for them is to pop a bottle of champagne and celebrate. I'm sure those guys are as proud as can be.
What?
Because Thea Hale helped Chase U get a win by doing what Gulak and Dempsey taught her, and that is to do whatever it takes. She finally learned this was her real graduation, Flobo. This was Thea Hale's true test if she had learned anything, and she learned it from Gulak and Dempsey and helped her team get the win. I don't think they look at themselves as taking a loss to this week.
I think
they look at themselves as getting the ultimate win in helping to shepherd in another incredible wrestler, Thea Hale. They've done a great job educating and teaching her, haven't they, Flobo?
No, I don't want to admit that, but
there's a lot of things I don't want to admit, but I
guess it was a move that they learned from those two guys. So I guess it's fine, but I don't think they're happy they lost. They look pretty distraught. They look pretty upset and frustrated. I would say that they were expecting to win that match this week. And so I got to ask, have you taken a loss after a match you think you're going to win? Where do you go from there?
Like I said, I think now no one likes to lose, but I think that they're looking back like, wow, we really did a good job teaching this person. If I'm them, I think maybe they should do something that would be helpful to everyone. Maybe they should make a university where they train wrestlers and educate wrestlers. I think that's something that the wrestling world could really use right now.
A catch point or like, what's that? Catch as catch can. I mean, that was Tommy. That's Timothy Thatcher. He's not there anymore. But like another wrestling school, I mean, with Alpha Academy in the main roster and all that stuff.
I think that the Alpha Academy is a little different. I think these two guys should continue to train and make people better. Clearly, look what they've done with Thea Hale. Thea Hale, before working with them, she wasn't in the title picture. Now she is. And she's got people like you thinking that she is the champion or that she tapped out the champion. I mean, that's incredible growth, and it comes from Gulak and Dempsey.
I want to fire you so hard. But okay, fine. Well, props to them. Hopefully they find something they can get themselves involved with, because it looks like the tag team division is going to be going through a little bit of a ringer, because Gallus Boys were not on top. Today was the battle for Tony D. If Stax Lorenzo won the match, Tony D would be freed of all charges. But if Gallus's Iron King Joe Coffey won the match, then it'll be the trial of Tony Angelo. I'll be honest with you, I was really expecting to go into a courtroom to see this trial of Tony Angelo, but shenanigans, malarkey, and flim flam happened with this one, with Stax getting the dub double, triple, quadruple crossing, Gallus, and also Nima and Price show up. There's a lot of things. This was a giant dog pile of threads. Jack Farmer, pull me through this one. What happened? What was your notes like with that for this?
You missed the most important part, Flo.
No, I didn't.
You absolutely did. And that is that Jack Farmer, as always, was right.
That's the worst part.
I was right. I said it. Look, everyone in the chat tried to tell me I was wrong.
Fairly.
You tried to tell me I was wrong. you, Flobo, and everyone else on the internet said I was wrong. But I said from the beginning, Stax has it figured out. Stax is someone you can trust. Stax is going to get the job done. Stax has set this up for a cannot fail situation. And what happened? Stax came through. Stax got the win. Stax did everything he needed to do. I was the only one that saw it, Flobo. Everyone else got caught up into all this other stuff, but great minds think alike. Jack, Stax, same page, figured it out. We need to start giving Stax his due as being an incredibly intelligent person and tactician and strategist.
Okay, fine, deal, because I didn't know where this riot was going, and somehow Tony D'Angelo knew how to call the arena directly. Props to him, but the result's the same. Gallus is looking pretty sad right now, caught with their pants down, and also with the debut of Nima and Price, are they going to be part of the family as well?
You'd have to ask Stax that. He's not going to show all of his cards at once. Come on, Flobo. I mean, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. That's how these kind of things work, is you don't make things something that you can figure out that easy. You keep things nice and loose. So if they need them, they're there. If they don't need them, they don't need them, you know?
Here's my theory. Maybe I may be right or wrong. Nima and Price are not going to be part of Tony D'Angelo's family, but I think they're kind of mercenaries, kind of a AOP situation, because now Gallus is distracted. Those tag team championships may be up for grabs when it's all said and done. So why not have an alliance with other people of the NXT roster?
Well, they are going to be up for grabs. Stax and Tony D get a shot at him, I believe, now after that win. So they are up for grabs. And, you know, I think if you want to be aligned with the tag team champions, you need to make your picks right now if you're another tag team in the division. So we'll see how that plays out. I think those guys have Lucian and Bronco have a very, very tough decision to make. I know what I would do if I was them, but I'll let them decide.
You know, let's pull back the curtain a little bit. Let's slap down. Tony Angelo has been on a wild ride here in the 2.0 era. For a while there, I thought he was going to be the guy. Look, the crowd was into him. I mean, cooled off a bit, had the injury. Come back, he went to prison, end story, right? Like, can Tony still be a premier star on NXT, or is this going to be a situation like this where you're going to see him in these other divisions, you're going to see him opening shows, see him being part of that first hour?
I think it's possible. I think he's entertaining. I think he's talented. But this is where we're really going to find out, because if you kind of look around at the roster, it does feel like Braun will probably be making the move to one of the other brands. Feels like Carmelo Hayes probably going to be making the move to one of the other brands sooner or later as well. A lot of these guys, I think, are going to be making that move soon. And that means guys like Tony D are going to get more time and have more of a responsibility for the show. And that means they're going to have to show just what kind of staying power they have. A lot of people, they can come in and they can have great starts and they can have a lot of promise to kick things off, but it's after they've been on consistently doing stuff for a long time that they really start to see what they're made of. And that's what we're still waiting on with Tony D. I think when he's in there and what we've seen of him has been wildly entertaining. He's been wildly talented in the ring. He can do a lot of stuff, but now we're going to see what happens when he's consistently there for a year, for 2 years, and if it wears thin or not.
Pinched fingers emojis for that everywhere. But as we write this down, it's now time for something I realized, questions that came up across my mind watching NXT this week. Maybe you could help me out with these. These are my burning questions. We saw a little bit of that Von Wagner story with Mr. Stone. He's been going through them things. He's opening up for Mr. Stone. What's next? It does seem the CWC faithful is getting behind old Mr. Wagner, but it looks like he's still going through some stuff.
What's next is he has to start getting some wins. He has to start getting some dubs. I think that we've learned more about him. We are starting to understand more about him, but there's only so many times we can hear you say life was tough for me. I get that he had a a tough situation growing up, but at some point it gets down to what happens in the ring. You got to start getting wins. I think we're ready to see him back in the ring. We're ready to see him get wins. It doesn't matter how much I care about him or his story. If he comes back and takes losses or if he doesn't get back in the ring, It's all for nothing. Has to get some wins.
Heartless Jack Farmer over here. Oh, man, Noam Dar needs to find time for mental health. But Von Wagner, get back in the ring. Ha-cha. Terrible. Terrible.
Too soon, Flobo. Too soon.
Keanu James is upset with Gigi Dolan. Gigi Dolan's upset with Keanu James. I like them both. Have you ever seen a storyline or ever seen a rivalry on NXT or any other channel where both women have to win?
Yes, and it doesn't work out good for one of them. But
what do you got?
But I will say, I think that what Gigi Dolan did was incredibly toxic. I mean, I thought as a society, we grew to understand that you don't release photos of someone else without their permission. I feel like that's rule number one in social media. But Gigi Dolan apparently doesn't seem to care releasing them. It's why I think that Keanu James is the favorite here. I think Keanu James is going to get the win.
I know what you're doing, but I'm such a Keanu James mark. I'm like, yeah, you tell him, Jack. Keanu James, all day, baby.
Yeah, it's a. I just think she's more focused on the match and winning. I think Gigi Dolan's a little more focused on this one-upsmanship instead of what happens in the ring, and that's going to be the difference.
Well, maybe you can help me untangle the North American title picture. Mustafa Ali and Wesley are set for the Great American Bash, but Dirty Dom, it's still a Mysterio. I'm not even sure. Says, look, man, you're the open challenge guy. Wes, I want a match next week. Do you think Wesley makes it a Great American Bash champion?
I mean, I would say that if you look at historically what these two guys have done in the past, Dom is just a
dirty Dom
nature. Dirty Dom, you can't. Dom is still a mystery. Mysterio. Dom, this was so brilliant, Flobo. Dom, this was just verbal chess that we saw played. And I think you could do this to any single wrestler anywhere ever. If you want a title shot, walk up to Roman Reigns and say, hey, I want to accept your open challenge. And then if he says, I'm not doing an open challenge, do the, oh, now you're not doing open challenges. I guess you're scared. It's a brilliant move.
I think it's brilliant for Dom to attempt this. But see, here's the thing about like not rewarding people who tune in every week. Because it was Shawn Michaels who went to Wesley and said, look, you had to stop these things because people are getting hurt. So the fact that Dom said it just totally ignored that part, unless him and Shawn are on the take. And Shawn Michaels getting money under the table, that's totally different, and you should watch out for that. But as it is right now, I don't really buy it.
But that's the point. It has nothing to do with why they stopped there, even if there ever even was an open challenge. I mean, it's just the idea that you could go up to a champion and say, I accept your open challenge. And if they suddenly say, I'm not doing it, it makes them look like a coward. It's great. It's a great move. There's no way to get out of it.
That is straight out of WWE 2K. Straight up.
If Alba Fire, for instance, came to NXT and said, hey, Tiffany Stratton, I'm accepting your open challenge. What does Tiffany Stratton say? You got to say yes or you look like a coward.
Oh, well, even if she says no, all it takes is one commercial break. And Vic Joseph is like, it's now official. It's because everyone approves everything at that brand. But okay.
I do want to give Vic Joseph real quick. I know we're running low on time. His flowers. I was thinking to myself, if they put anyone else on commentary in NXT these days, it would absolutely feel like a different show. He has become the voice of that show. And I think even if, regardless of who you put there or regardless of how talented someone else may be, not hearing Vic's voice on NXT would absolutely be something that changes the entire feeling of that show.
Get up to Vic Joseph. The flowers are out. Got one more for you. So N.E. Thorpe feeling pretty good at his last match, hanging out with Gable Stevenson, saying, you know what, we're gonna run this town. But Dijak is like, I don't like this one bit. Dijak, N.E. Thorpe, question mark.
You know, I'm a big fan of Eddie Thorpe. Been a fan of his for a long time. He's a DJ as well, so we got that kinship between us.
All right, name dropping. Me and DJ Eddie Thorpe.
Yeah, DJ Eddie Thorpe. We were like, bah, 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 and you know, he was like,
yeah, boy.
So I said, make some noise.
Dude, that was a DJ conversation. Put it back.
It's just DJ cliches. I worry for him here. Dijak is We all know Dijak. I don't need to explain just how dangerous he is and how big and hard-hitting he is. It's not that that makes me worried about Eddie Thorpe on its own, though. What makes me worried is that Eddie Thorpe has sort of hitched his wagon to Gable Steveson. And if you're watching them talking after Raw Underground, Gable is even saying, I don't know what's next. Maybe I'm going to be here. Maybe I'm going to the Olympics. I don't know. And I worry that Eddie Thorpe is going to find himself in a situation where he needs Gable Steveson and Gable's no longer there. That makes me very worried for Eddie Thorpe.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a situation against Dijak, though. Guy's an absolute beast.
I mean, I don't want to be in any situation with Dijak, to be totally honest with you.
I'm with you. I'm kind of disappointed that Dijak did not work out a free agent contract, because I would love to have that man float across all three brands, that sweet duster jacket, but that's just me.
Yeah.
As we wind down here, is my time, with favorite part of the show. It's now time for that MVP of NXT. So many options and choices this week there, Jay Farm, but who was the one that stuck out to you the most? And I swear to God, if you say Noam Dar, I'm canceling the show.
Well, I want to say, actually, the general manager of NXT for allowing Noam Dar to have some time off to recover and to get things sorted and to handle this incredible emotional burden he's undergoing. So I got to go with that.
I'm not even sure if it's Shawn Michaels, but if it is, somehow by doing absolutely nothing, by having inaction, you are the MVP in Jack's mind.
It's understanding what people are going through, Flobo. Have a little empathy.
I don't believe in that.
I don't care how you feel.
Hey! No, I know. I know how Dar feels. For me, it has to be Dragunov. You take Dragunov out the show this week, there is no show. There's no new number one contender, and it might be a different result in the main event. But that positive, I think, even though that briefcase shot wasn't really that great, Dragunov is my MVP this week.
He would be.
Okay, I was looking for someone to like disagree, and there it is. Elsewhere, we have to see more about Lucian Price and Bronco Nima. Blair Davenport doesn't really like people and other things. As we ramp up to the Great American Bash, before we get out of here, Jack Farmer, is there any other like superstar or tendril of story you want to see played out on the big stage?
I feel like things are not done between Carmelo Hayes and the Judgment Day, particularly Carmelo Hayes and Finn Balor. I'd like to see them have one more go-around, whether it be as a six-man tag, whether it be as a singles match. I feel like there's some meat on the bone there. I'd like to see them run that one back.
I'm not sure they're doing it this year, but War Games. I'm just kidding. Imagine that. Oh, man. Judgment Day and War Games. Oh, man. Rhea Ripley's beating up people.
Oh, my God. That'd be fantastic.
Worth the price of admission. That does it for us on this edition of Draped in Gold. But you know what? Jack Farmer, that's the fun part. Tell us how we can get in touch with you, maybe get you on for some shows. I want to book you, baby.
Yeah, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. That's the best way to keep up with everything I'm doing, whether it be at Wrestling Inc. or whether it be doing ring announcing or commentary or anything like that. Check that out and follow me there.
Well, next week I'll be on assignment, but we're still having Draped in Gold. I'll be in an undisclosed location. Jack Farm will have the Roman Reigns. So please, if you have any questions or any kind of stories you want to talk about the show, hit him up directly because I want to see what's on your mind. Thank you so much for viewing this, drapedingold.com. Leave a 5-star review if you can. I mean, if you can, definitely do that. I mean, don't give me 4-star. That sucks. But until next time, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.